Took your love, then you passed me by. Baby, where have you been all these years? You're my troubled past, coming home at last. Now I know, yeah. Say what love, that's what I'm living for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm living for.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett. We're just scrambling around the studio trying to set up the mics and everything. Let's make sure everything's working, tuning our instruments. That was What I'm Living For, Seu Amor, from her album Quero Saber. Carla Hassett, myspace.com/Carla Hassett. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Any
how
mic, pick a mic. Let's
pick
see.
Pick a mic, any mic.
We'll put you on three. So, you are from Brazil.
I'm from São Paulo.
Yes, and how long have you been here in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. Oh, a long time, John. Yeah. I've been here almost 20 years.
Wow.
This year we'll make 20 years.
Do you think of yourself as a Brazilian musician or as a Los Angeles musician who does Brazilian music?
No, I think of myself as just a musician, and I've come to a point in my music where I've finally found a nice blend of the two cultures that I'm a part of. I'm part of both. The language, the culture, the ideas, the lifestyle. I move between the two very easily, with ease and with difficulty. Sometimes kicking and screaming, no, I don't want to go. But so that's what this record is for me. It's that balance of the two.
And who have you brought with you today?
I have brought the fabulous Fabiano do Nascimento, who's extraordinarily talented guitarist. If you notice, he's playing a 7-string violão. which is an amazing instrument and very technically. He made me play it the other day. It was crazy.
Do you usually travel with the same like a group of musicians, or is it a solo act where you sort of pick different musicians for different shows?
Well, I haven't traveled yet with this band. I've played with this record. I've played in Chicago in a couple of different setups. So in that case, yeah, it's been sort of a different instrumentation and different people. But LA is sort of getting now established as a particular band. So hopefully we'll be able to continue it at least with the two of us, all the way up to a five-piece band, ideally.
Nice, nice. Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about how you guys met and got together and started making music together. Let's just make sure these are all pointing in the right directions. There we go.
Looks good. Voilà, Fabien.
All right, you're listening to Is Good. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to play Three Kings.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett.
Yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett. Carla, that was beautiful.
Muito obrigada.
So, you sing in English and Portuguese.
Yes.
And yet even when you sing in English, the song is undeniably Brazilian.
Yes.
What do you think, what is the quality of that music, of that song that makes it distinctly Brazilian?
This particular song?
Music in general.
Music,
I mean, how do you identify music as Brazilian? What is it that culture gives to
it? That's a good question. And it's not pure Brazilian music by any means. It's not samba. It's not bossa nova. It's not any of those traditional. But it takes a little bit of each and blends it with the pop, American pop that I grew up with, that all of us grew up with. On one song, it might be just the rhythm, might just be a bossa nova rhythm, such as this song we just played. And the instrumentation on the record, for instance, the percussion features a surdo, which is a samba instrument, you know, that boop, do 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 do, right? But of course, the lyrics are all in English, except the la la ya, which is very Brazilian, as you know. And structurally, it's contemporary. It's a pop song. Other songs might have a very definitive pop groove, almost hip hop sort of R&B type of groove, but it'll have a nylon string guitar playing a rhythmic pass. And, you know, there might be a pandeiro playing at the same time, but the basic groove isn't Brazilian at all. So that sort of thing. There are some tracks that are very American tracks with Portuguese lyrics, which a lot, of course, all the Brazilian kids are doing that.
Right.
We just don't hear it.
That's
here
the new big thing there, huh?
Yeah.
Is your audience, do you think your audience is mostly American, multicultural, Brazilian?
You know,
who do you think
it's
is listening?
Interesting. It's interesting when I get fan mail from Brazilians, from young people in Brazil. They really get what I'm doing. They get what I'm doing, and they appreciate that someone is doing it outside of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
There's an older, a little bit more of a sophisticated listener who grabs onto this and likes it. And then there's the young listener who thinks it's kind of cool and eclectic, or just doesn't get it at all and doesn't like it at all.
Do you think you can just do without that person?
Yeah, I think I can easily do without that person. It's only one person anyway.
Yeah, because you have the rest of your audience. It does seem like, and it seems like something particularly Los Angeles, and maybe because like KCRW likes to play a lot of Brazilian music, Maybe this area is exposed to a little bit more Brazilian music than maybe you would find in the Midwest.
There's definitely a hip factor to it, as there is with Cuban music and certain other Hispanic sort of traditional pieces that are incorporated in electronica. And
well, I was gonna say you've also used that in your music, and there have been a few other recently sort of, I hate to use the term crossover artists, but you know, artists who have essentially crossed over to the not necessarily the mainstream, but the people who are really into music, the eclectic listeners, people like Bebel Gilberto, who's been very successful doing kind of traditional bossa nova with that electronic edge.
She's kind of led the way in a way. I mean, she was doing it before Sergio Mendes hooked up with the Will.i.am and those guys, the Black Eyed Peas. So, yeah, she's definitely a bit of a pioneer, wouldn't you say?
So do you find yourself influenced by some of those other Brazilian artists who are moving in that direction?
Definitely. Not only those name artists, not only the super visible ones, but just being on MySpace and finding, you know, two guys in Rio who have a turntable and a guitar. And I love it. I love meeting these people online. And I'm totally going to start working with them and collaborating on stuff. I think my next record I'm going to write it entirely in Brazil and start recording it there with just people that I meet while I'm traveling. I don't know if I'm going to do it with a laptop or a mini disc or something, but I just want to go all around and just discover different attitudes toward contemporary music, you know?
Now, this CD, Quero Saber, it's your second full-length CD, correct?
It's my first full-length. It's my second CD. The first one was an EP.
And do you see the CD as being having a theme, as being a certain kind of project? And you're talking about your next CD, you'd like to do something different.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a theme in and of itself or if it's sort of a theme for a group of records. I'm not mm-hmm. sure. But it's definitely, I could see it that it has evolved from the EP, which is more electronic. But it wasn't like I set out to make an electronic record. That's all the gear I had.
Right.
And I didn't have access. I was like stuck in Chicago, and I, you know, it took me a while to start working with people out there. And so it was just sort of like, what is it? How's the phrase? The mother of invention? Necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
Something like that. It was like, it became what it was because that's what I had at hand. And on this record, I knew that I was at liberty to be more organic.
Mm-hmm.
My studio is a little bit better now, and a lot of new people like Fabiano have come into my musical life. So I've been able to explore things like that. So I could certainly see that pattern continuing, maybe even a little more organic on the next one. I don't know.
Where can people get this CD?
CD Baby and iTunes, and of course at my gigs.
Oh, yes. And you have a gig coming up this weekend, right?
This weekend at Tangier.
That's a very cool place. That's a great place for lounge and Brazilian music, too, I think.
Because
it's just the way that it's designed, so all very mm-hmm. dark red, and you just want to drink
sexy
wine.
Place,
and yeah.
Right?
Why don't we listen to another track from the CD? What do you recommend?
Let's listen to Over You.
Oh, good. That's track 4. Track 4 is always my favorite track.
Mine too.
Really? You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett.
Se você não vem comigo, eu não sei pra onde ir. Passando mais um dia com você na minha mente.
we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett. Carla, I want to ask you, it seems from the Brazilians I've met that if you're born in Brazil, you're automatically born with the lyrics of all Brazilian songs in your head. they all seem to know all the words to all the songs. You can't go to any kind of Brazilian party and without having singing along.
I could tell you've been to a few just by sort of saying that.
So is that the case with you? Did you just grow up listening to music and wanting to do music, or did it come to you later?
No, yeah, I did. I certainly wasn't born with all the lyrics in my head, but I think I started learning them when I was about three.
Okay.
Oh my God, I grew up like this. My parents worked really, really hard. We all went to school, whatever. Weekends, well, you know how Brazilian parties are. My parents still have them, John, till 4 o'clock in the morning.
You're older than your parents now, huh?
Jeez, the last time I was there, they had a party, and it finally started winding down about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, good, I can go to bed. I go try and go to bed. Suddenly, the doorbell rings. It's the Consulate General of Brazil, who's just showing up now to the party. Oh, the guitars come back out. The food goes back on the table. And, you know, the party went on till about 3 or 4, and I had pillow over my head the whole time trying to sleep. So yeah, I turned into an old lady on them. But no, that's how I grew up. I mean, we were, you know, my cousins weren't my blood cousins. They were the other Brazilian kids, right? Who were friends of my parents, whatever. And they'd have parties. They're just the most social people, right, Fabiano? It's just amazing. We talk about that all the time, about how, like, we hang out, we'll rehearse, but we're really just sort of hanging out. And people don't do that here. It's like, show up, do the job, go home. You know, got things to do. So, but to answer your question, I'm totally digressing. To answer your question, that's how I grew up with music. And that's how I got inspired to want to play guitar.
Did you teach yourself how to play guitar?
Not at first. I mean, lately it's been pretty much a self-taught venture.
Right.
But no. I took classical guitar lessons when I was a kid. And then I gave it up for a while, picked it up again, gave it up, picked it up. And then I really started getting serious about it in the last 10 years.
And did you always know that you had the ability to sing? Did it just come out of you one day and everyone's like, wow, Carla can sing?
It wasn't even one day. It was just always there. Mm-hmm. It was never not there. So
Were there certain artists that you were listening to a lot in your youth that you thought, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to make music like this?
I didn't really know who all these people were, that all these songs that I was hearing in my house. I didn't know who these people were. I didn't know them by name. That happened when I got older. What I knew by name was, you know, American, what was being played on, like, you know, American FM stations, you know, the rock, R&B, you know, this was just before genres got so split up and sort of identified as this goes there, that goes there. So it was, I grew up with a mishmash of material, which is so great. So awesome. But I started getting really to know Brazilian music intellectually when I worked with Sergio Mendes. I worked with him very, very briefly, very long time ago, but, you know, I had to dive in as a student, pretty much, not as just a casual listener. And then I knew. I was like, oh, that song's by so and so. Oh, and that song's by that. And, oh, that's what that means.
So you're already familiar with all that music, but you just didn't know the intellectual details of why it was so spectacular. So
sometimes I didn't know what the songs were about. A lot of those songs were written during really heavy political times in Brazil, and I didn't know. You know, I didn't live through that. I didn't know what
that
was about. Well, it's
the same thing here. A lot of the really successful, you know, pop songs, once you really learn about it, you find that, oh, well, this is written as, you know, as a protest to a war or something. And you weren't even aware of it. You thought it was just a fun song.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I learned that way. Started diving in. And it's really fascinating history.
Yeah. Well, Brazil especially has an incredibly rich musical history. Mm-hmm. So you have so much source material to draw from, so many different influences and different instruments and different ways of writing lyrics. So
and the different genres throughout the country, the different rhythms.
Mm-hmm. Now, Fabiano, how did you get involved with playing with Carla?
Well,
tell the truth.
Well, it started at a party at her house, right?
See,
it still hasn't ended.
Yeah, I'm a great musician, Ted Falcon, who's in Brazil now. He's been friends, right? You've known him for a while.
Yeah.
And he brought me to Carla's house for a party, and we ended up jamming all night.
Till about 4 in the morning, yeah. I recall.
Playing songs for each other, right?
You're Brazilian as well?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Rio and lived in São Paulo.
And had you always played Brazilian guitar, or you were playing guitar in a bunch of different rock bands? Or
no.
What kind of musical background did you come from?
You know, I studied piano when I was really young. I was always into music since I was really young. I always played something, or messed around with some instrument, the recorder or the tambourine or the piano. And I picked up the guitar when I was like 15 or 16. And I lived with my uncle, who's a musician in Brazil. His name is Lúcio Nascimento, and he plays with Leni Andrade, the singer in Brazil, and Peri Ribeiro. And he would always take me to his concerts, and I always sit really close, and I always hang out, and I always go to his rehearsals, you know, and always hang out I always sit next to the drummer. I really like the rhythm. So I think since I was really young, I absorbed that rhythm in me, you know. And he's the one who really taught me the first chords and the first things on guitar. He's a basser, but he plays guitar too. And so he's my mentor. He's the one who taught me most of what I know.
What do you think your responsibility is as a guitar player in Carla Hassett's act?
That's a good question.
To get the coffee?
I mean, is there a way that you can play guitar that will bring out her voice the best way, or something,
you know,
along those lines?
It's her music is really rich harmonically, and it takes like I've rehearsed with her a few times now, and the more we play together, I feel like the more it connects the way I play and the way her music is. And it's like I was telling her music is really demanding dynamically, so it takes some time to incorporate that and get into it, you know. But I feel it, you know. It's really nice.
Why don't we jump into another live song and hear what you're talking about specifically?
Okay.
And you will.
This is a more traditional bossa nova called Novo Jeito.
All right. Check out myspace.com/Carla Hassett. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Maybe ready.
Moreno do coração fechado, se renda nos meus braços. O amor não é pra fazer calar. Junto de você, eu vou. quero mostrar o que é perfeito. Este beijo vai lhe ensinar um novo jeito.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett. How do you know when your audience is getting it? Talking about live performances, you know, if you were a rock band, you could sort of gauge whether or not the audience was into it, if they were, you know, jumping around, beating each other up or something, you know. but with music that's more more relaxed, more introspective, when you look out from the stage, what do you see people doing that makes you think, that gives you the confidence to keep playing, that makes you think, oh, I'm reaching them?
People lock into, they begin to express exactly what the music is giving them. That's when they give exactly that back to you, then you know they've gotten it on some level, whatever level that is. If they're getting it intellectually, that you know in a conversation or in a mail that comes in or whatever. But, you know, I've seen people begin to dance. I played a house concert in Chicago, and it was so much fun. And we played sort of a chorinho samba, very simple, very brief song. And by the end of the song, there was a group of women dancing in the very back of the room. It was fantastic. And I was like, they get it. They get what this song is about. It was all about just that beautiful rhythm that makes you want to move. Yeah. You know how it is. And then in the more introspective songs, you know, you just see people's body language. They'll close their eyes. They'll listen. They'll tune into the guitar or just the rhythm. And
What are some of the things that you consistently find yourself writing about? Do you write more abstractly or about people that you've met or love stories? Or?
Yeah, it's pretty, I have to say, I'm coming from a pretty commonplace, you know, of, you know, my experiences with love and with relationships. And that sounds so boring, and it was so boring when I started writing. It's just like, God, how can I say this stuff without sounding, you know, juvenile and without sounding totally cliched? I mean, the rhyme schemes that you hear over and over and over again, it's just so dull. But I studied poetry, English and American poetry, and I studied American literature. So I started drawing from those places to just push myself to make things sound, to say something interesting, or to say something that everybody knows what it's like, but to say it in an interesting way and as uniquely as I possibly can.
So does each new song present that new challenge for you?
Yeah.
You sort of know what you're going to write about, and you know how you want the song to sound,
no.
But you don't...
I don't always know what I'm going to write about.
Do they kind of happen as you're writing them?
Most of the time, they happen as I'm writing them, and they kind of reveal themselves to me, and I take that as the inspiration, and then I go and work really hard to make it really good. But sometimes, like with Three Kings, that was a very purposeful piece of writing. I was really needing to write some more because I had just thrown out a bunch of songs for the record, and I was anxious to get it out. So I was like, okay, sit down, write, come on, work hard, come on. And I couldn't write for the life of me. Nothing came to me. So I started forming in my mind, like, what kind of song did I want to write? I wanted to write something harmonically simple, but with very sophisticated lyrics, very poetic lyrics, very much like I'm going to emulate Shakespeare now. You know, I'm going to write cool couplets, and I'm going to write about love. And I'm like, you know, then I started getting all self-defeatist about it. Oh, I don't remember any Shakespeare. That was so long. Oh, my God. And then I was like, I was just laying in bed one day, and I was like, it came to me. I was like, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or if thou wilt not be but sworn my love, and I will no longer be a Capulet. And I was like, woohoo, I remember Shakespeare. So that line stuck with me, be but sworn my love, be but sworn my love. And I started thinking of the great loves in my life. And I thought, well, there have been three, so let's write about those three. And let's give each one a verse. Each one has their own verse. And...
Do they each have their own instrumentation as well?
No, they just have a verse. I don't want to give them too much. Come on, John. No, they each have a verse. And then what I did is I went back. So this is where I'm saying I kind of keep pushing it. See how far I can go with this. I went back and rewrote, or rather tweaked the verses so that a part of each verse, either the first or second half of each verse, rhymes with each of their first names. And then and then on the fourth verse, I explain it. I explain what I just explained.
And in addition to that, I mean, I know you didn't write different instrumentation for each character in your story, but when you're writing these songs, especially songs about love, do you also think about how you're going to express that without words in those moments there where you're not using lyrics? Is there a way to write love into a guitar piece for you?
Well, in this genre, absolutely there is a way. This is the most romantic, emotional music. You know, Brazilian music it does get to the heart without having to say anything at all. In fact, some of the most beautiful Brazilian pieces are just la-la-las, or just, you know. Comes from the guitar, that's right.
All that work to get close to the mic, but you were done with that.
But there are other ways of expressing, like Over You. Mm-hmm. You were listening to Over You. You played Over You before. And, I mean, that's totally a love song. It's kind of, you know, about the lusty side of love. It's not real love. It's sex love, but... That's valid, right? And it's got the driving beat. And it's got, I knew I wanted, you know, a guy to be doing the rap. I didn't want to do the rap. I wanted it to be a very, more of a sexual energy than a romantic energy. So in that way, yeah, you know, it made more sense to have the full on drums. And
What about venues? Playing in LA, doesn't matter what kind of band you are, it's always a challenge because you have to rely on other people to put you on a stage with other people and that may or may not reflect well on you. Do you find, have you been sort of, has it been difficult for you avoiding being compartmentalized as just an ethnic act, a Brazilian thing?
So hard in this town that I can't even get compartmentalized.
That would be better if they just...
You know? It's tough. I mean, yeah, most of my experience is being in the wrong place and being put on the wrong night and being, you know, or having like the bad luck of finally having a great night with a packed house and then my set gets cut because, you know, the band before me ran late.
Oh.
You know, it's just like one thing after another in this town. And I really want to get out and play other places. I want to. But also, you know, this is a great industry town, and I think to really seek your true audience, you have to get out of here and go find it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah. You guys ready for another live song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do we play next?
Phoenix. Can I choose?
Phoenix or let's do Not Real Love.
Okay.
I'm not playing on this one.
Okay, so I'll get to play your guitar.
Oh, that's right.
So we're moving some instruments around here. What are we doing?
He's obsessed with my guitar. He plays it every chance he can get.
It's so nice.
So you're not going to be playing on this one? Just going to be singing?
I'm just going to sing. Okay. This is Not Real Love.
No. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Carla Hassett. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yeah, go. Down. is not real love, baby.
I'm convinced.
Hey, by the way, John, there's a video on that song that you can see from my MySpace page.
Oh, yeah? I was actually just going to ask you about some of the things that you do to promote yourself. It's not enough to just write great music and sing and play guitar and everything. You have to do all this other business-type work stuff. So you have your own website besides your MySpace page,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's Carla Music.
Carla Music. And you're saying on the MySpace page you also have a video for the song you just performed?
Yeah. My brother's a filmmaker, and he came up with a really great idea for this video. It's like shot in black and white. And Daniela Brasil came on. She's like the number one samba dancer in L.A. She's from the samba schools in Rio. She's the real deal. So she came in, and we filmed her dancing samba, but in slow motion.
Mm.
And it's the most extraordinary effect, and it's a really beautiful, sort of a dreamlike video.
Do you see yourself doing more things like that as you release more albums, doing more videos?
I really enjoy that. I love the visual medium. I really enjoy that. I love photography, and I mean not as the creator, but just being a part of, you know, photographs and film and things like that.
How far do you anticipate or aspire to go with this act? Are you looking for major label attention, or do you see yourself as an indie artist, whatever that means to you?
Well, right now I'm progressing as an indie artist because that's what I have at hand, and thank goodness we live in a time where you can do that. You can do that now. I do want to make sure I get to the world and not just stay here, because
mm-hmm.
I think this will be well received outside of the States. But having said that, you know, I would certainly welcome any other opportunities. I'm just not going to sit and wait for it. That's all. I'm gonna pursue this as I am.
Yeah, that's a problem with. I tend to wait for something to magically happen. And that so far, it works sometimes, but
it
not all
sometimes,
the time.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Los Angeles is a city largely made up of transplants. You know, people who've found themselves in LA pursuing something. They don't really know why they're here, but they're stuck here. And even if you have lived here longer than you've lived anywhere else in your life, you still feel like you're from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's got to be especially true if you're coming from the other side of the planet. Do you find that doing music, especially Brazilian music, that's sort of a way to bring Brazil with you wherever you go, to stay in touch with it?
Well, yes, and especially not just sort of emotionally, spiritually, musically, like you're speaking, but also in the community, you know, mm-hmm. because I've tried to play this music with American musicians, and there are some great American musicians who play. I'm not talking about the American musician who is very well schooled in Brazilian music. I'm talking about just the average American musician who may be a great musician, but without the experience of playing Brazilian music, there's... It doesn't work.
Well, and it's probably got to be in your genes too, unless you're incredibly experienced learning how to do it.
Yeah, or very dedicated to it. Yeah. I mean, Fabiano was mentioning our friend Ted Falcon. I mean, he's very American, but he's so dedicated to Brazilian music, Brazilian culture. That's all he does. You know, he looks at me like you're a hybrid, Carla.
You're not Brazilian enough.
You're
for
not
him.
Even the real thing. Come on. So. Yeah. But excluding that, yeah, it's impossible to do this without people who really understand the soul of it. I've tried to; it doesn't work.
No, we were talking a bit about your website and the video. What are some other things that you do to market yourself? How do you get people to go to your shows? Do you have to rely mostly on your friends, or are you flyer happy? And
yeah, you know, I don't know. It's I'm sort of, I think, in a transition right now where I'm starting to build a small fan base, a little bit of a, you know, vibe. I have a mailing list through my website, so.
And I imagine the CD must help as well. People buy the CD and think, oh, she's playing live at Tangier this weekend or wherever.
Yeah, a lot of people. Well, let's see what happens at Tangier, because in the last couple of weeks, Mike Patton's blogs have started talking about the track that we recorded together that's on the CD. So I don't know how many of those people are in Los Angeles, but we'll see. Maybe they'll get word that I'm playing, and that'll happen.
You know, why don't we listen to another track from the CD?
Well, let's hear that track. Okay. It's Julia, number 3.
And tell me a little bit about this. This is a collaboration with Mike Patton. And
yeah.
How did that piece come together while I set it up?
The piece, it was one of the first pieces to come together from this record, that and the title track. And I always imagined it as a duet, but didn't quite know what to do with it. At one point, I even thought of approaching Djavan with it, who's a great Brazilian singer. And then Mike and I were hanging out one night. We were catching up. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. He's an old friend of mine. And, you know, I played it for him, and I asked him if he would want to sing on it. And he said, yeah, he wanted to sing on it. And then, you know, months went by because he's so busy. But we finally were able to do it, and I think it's just beautiful.
All right, well, let's have a listen. This is Julia from Quero Saber from Carla Hassett. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Back on Is Good on killradio.org with Carla Hassett. We're almost out of time. We're gonna get one more live song. You're playing this Saturday, right?
At Tangier. Early set, 7:30.
Is there a cover?
$8.
And who are you playing with? Is it just going to be you and Fabiano, or is it going to have a full band?
We have a percussionist, Amy Molinelli, and Carmine Rojas is playing bass, and maybe a guest or two. We'll see.
When you play live, is there one that you prefer over the other in terms of doing a quiet acoustic thing with maybe just the two of you versus, you know, on a stage with a lot of people and many different instruments? Or are they different, just different experiences,
they're different
apples and oranges?
Creatures. Yeah, they're totally different creatures. I'm looking forward to something a little bit more intimate this weekend. We're playing without a drummer this weekend, so Amy will be the only source of percussion, and she's very creative, so I think it's going to be... It's wonderful to hear your songs get a totally different treatment.
What about recording? What about being in the studio? Do you prefer the live, you know, being able to connect with your audience, or is there something kind of satisfying about, you know, laying down the perfect track for your new CD?
I'm such a gearhead. I love equipment, and, you know, I always engineer my own stuff. I produce my own stuff. So I really get into the recording aspect of recording. It doesn't feel like a performance at all to me.
But then if you go too long doing that, do you miss the live element of it? No.
No, I really get into it. I really like it.
Awesome. So, and these CDs will be for sale at Tangier as well,
absolutely,
right? Good. All right, well, what are you going to play for us?
We're going to play the title track, Quero Saber,
I was going to ask, it means I want to know.
I want to know, that's right.
What is it that you want to know? What are you?
Everything.
What are you getting at with that? How did you come to decide that this was going to be the name of your album?
It just made sense to me. I couldn't really think of another title that was interesting, and it made sense to take one of the songs as a title track, and I liked the idea of wanting to know. I mean, it was, of course, I wrote it about someone, and that's how I felt about this person. I wanted to know about him. Of course, he broke up with me before we got there, but
he'll never know.
Fabulous song.
He'll never
know. It was also a co-write with a fabulous guitar player from New York, Scott Anderson, and a jazz singer, Marianne Jaime. So this was a co-write. Quero Saber.
Whenever you're ready.
Fiquei com vontade de saber
great note to end the show on today. Thank you so much for coming, Carla Fabiano.
Thanks for having us so much, John.
So everyone should go check out their show this Saturday, Tangier. And you can get all the information on that by going to myspace.com/CarlaHassett or CarlaMusic.com.